Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Doug LaMaurice joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's fantastic as always. Doug, hello.
Hi, fellas.
Is the fear of litigation down the line, you know, this heart issue that gets brought up here? We had James Laurinaitis on yesterday. James said, you know, a lot of athletes, you find out that they have enlarged hearts because of how much physically strenuous work that they do. He said he wasn't surprised by any of that, but there could be a possibility where there is a class action suit down the line, kind of like with CTE, the way Joe Thomas described it the day before.
I mean, I think there the idea of we're stopping because of health concerns and we're stopping because of concerns that if you have health issues, we might get sued are obviously linked, you know, and if they're, I don't think it's all lawsuit and no actual health concern, but in college football, when you don't have a players union, where you don't have a way for, you know, to really work with the players to try to figure out a solution, where you don't have anything that's collectively bargained, I think that obviously comes into play more. And so if you're trying to figure out, well, we really are worried some of these players could have serious health consequences, and that alone does really worry us. But there's a second component, and it's like, well, what do we do about the second component? We can't work together to share the risk and figure it out. So then maybe your only choice then is to say, then we just can't play. So I do think that is more in play in college football than in other places, because the way the sport is structured, there's not really another way to address it.
Doug, unfortunately, I have to ask you to speculate on this because the conferences have not been all that forthcoming on the medical information they have, which is, to me, a crime considering society could use all the information that is available. But with that said, do you think all the conferences have similar information right now and they just decided to act differently?
Yeah, I think it's about the balance. And the Pac-12 did put out a pretty lengthy medical sheet that I read through that was medical people saying it. And, you know, I trust the medical people. I don't think those medical people aren't going to lie. So there was a lot of the new information they felt about the heart issue that was an issue. And they felt that just the spread of the virus itself, at least in, for instance, a lot of the areas where the Pac-12 operated, was still severe enough and at a high enough level that they felt like the league could not test as much as it needed to. And so the idea, I think that's obvious to everybody. If the virus was smushed, we'd probably be playing. But those two things, I think, together, we still don't have a handle on it. Actually, three things. There's still too much of the virus. We can't test as much as we would like to because, for instance, the level of virus spread, that they had a chart that said if it's this much spread, we need this much testing. The current spread in Ohio, by their standard, would require daily testing of every athlete and every staffer. And that's not what the Big Ten's doing, and nobody has that capability at the college level yet. And then there's the heart issue. So I think they do all have the information, but it's the balance of, because we all know it's health, liability, money, player opportunity, fan interest, how much everybody cares about it. It's easier to cancel the MAC than it is to cancel the SEC. So I don't think the information is different. I think the balance of how you evaluate it is different.
Doug, can I real quick ask you about the testing thing you said? I thought that's interesting. I'd read in the Pac-12 about the testing situation and also how they would have to shut down a whole team based on some of the community guidelines there if there's exposure. We don't have that here necessarily, but Does the SEC, do they not have to test daily based on the guidelines and based on their disease numbers right now?
Well, like nobody – I mean, I didn't go through everything, but obviously there's been some more spread in southern states that's even higher than what has been in Ohio. So the threshold for what they called for daily testing was not very high. You know, it's not like Ohio's bending down a little bit. It's not totally out of control. So I think there would have been SEC schools that would reach that threshold of it should be daily testing by their standard. So that's the suggestion. And so that's out there. And so maybe the Pac-12 says, well, we can't meet that. That's one of the reasons we cancel. And maybe the SEC says, well, that's great. We get it, but we still think we're okay because nobody's testing daily, right? Maybe twice or three times a week, but nobody's testing daily. And there's not the resources, and even just the testing itself that's out for anybody is not really fast enough. So, again, I don't – it's the balance, and that's why, I mean, as Ken said, anybody who thinks it's a black and white issue, I don't think this is obviously cancel or obviously keep playing. It's a sliding scale, and every conference is sliding the scale differently.
Doug LaMaurice with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's Justin Fields going to do?
I think he's going to hang, and I do. I don't know how much you guys have talked about the Ryan Day January plan, but I mean, Ryan Day really wants to try to get a Big Ten plan to Justin Fields soon to explain to him how if we played in January and February, if the draft was moved back, if you could still go to the combine and get in basically the same amount of draft prep, this is what it would look like. Have this in your hand before you make a final decision. So if Justin Fields never plays for Ohio State again, he doesn't have to play again. Mm-hmm. He's a top five pick. He showed it in a year. It'd be great to give him a second year, but he's not like Joe Burrow. He's going to get better. He'd have a better year this year, but he's not going to make a gigantic leap because he was already so good. So he doesn't have to play. He has a really good quarterback trainer in Quincy Avery, who trains Deshaun Watson and Dwayne Haskins and just is a guy he really trusts. I just think his two choices would be hang if the Big Ten plays in January or just go get an agent, start training and do that. The idea of floating back to the SEC, I know I think some people were like wondering like, oh, maybe he'll go back to Georgia. I just don't think that's it. I don't think the lure of the Heisman or anything. It's like either play with the guys who are his guys here or get ready for the NFL and either of them. I mean, the NFL thing probably makes more sense, but maybe Ryan Day can throw a Hail Mary and try to get him to stay.
Doug LaMaurice with us on the show. Gosh, tell you what, if it were Axel Carmen, I'd probably be in my son's ear going, go. You're a top five pick regardless. You'd probably be number two. It's time to go on. Go on. I can't help it. I know that everybody wants him to play, and he's a good kid, seems like a good kid, but I can't help but say I wouldn't even want him to transfer to another school going, hey, you got a lot in front of you. Just train, and let's get you to the NFL next year.
I mean, it's a fine line. What that family feels like about the virus too, right? Because Justin Fields didn't want the Big Ten to cancel. So I know what you're saying, but I agree with that, right? I mean, it seems the most likely thing. It seems the sensible thing, but depending how people feel the virus, how much of a risk it is, you can start going down that line, and then it's like maybe nobody ever plays their junior year, right? Because it's like, what are you doing? What's the point? You already proved it. You're going to risk getting hurt. There's a million more extras, right, that even you might get hurt on the field because things feel rushed or whatever. But I think it's fair to remember that especially for the best guys at the best programs who are trying to make history, to win Heismans, to win national titles, to do things they'll never forget, the act of playing has value. But if what they wind up with is so jerry-rigged that it doesn't really have any value, then it's like, yeah, what am I sticking around for?
Doug, at a executive level or at a leadership level, I know they've been getting trashed all over. Everyone who had anything to do with making this decision, football fans are irate about it. We understand how important Ohio State football is and Big Ten football is for everybody. But if the SEC pulls this off, is the Ohio State president, newly appointed president, in trouble? Christina Johnson, is Kevin Warren in trouble? We always ask if Gene Smith is in trouble, and he never seems to be in trouble. But, like, should they be getting their resumes ready?
So the thing that I said on our Buckeye Talk podcast the other day when this came out is, I think a lot of times Ohio State fans and Big Ten fans really like being Ohio State fans because Ohio State really tries to walk the line of being the highest level football powerhouse and an academic institution that likes to think that it has a broader view on the world, right? And so I think most of the time, don't you kind of get the idea that the Ohio State and the Big Ten and their fans kind of look down on the SEC sometimes and
yes.
think
yes.
they
it's happened
know,
today.
I mean, whatever. What,
they're
okay.
doctors. We had a caller call up yes. and ignite a whole controversy about how the doctors up here are better than the doctors down south.
Yep. Yep.
So if you think that the rest of the time, we're better than the SEC, we're smarter, we have a broader view on the world, and we're still great at football, how can you sit here now and say, I wish we were in the SEC, or you're jealous of the SEC because their balance leans a little more football than the Big Ten's does? You either want to be who you are and you hold yourself above, and I'm not saying it's good or bad, I'm saying it happens, if you guys agree. So then that's the deal. This is like the for lack of the raw end of the deal, that maybe the Big Ten looks at things a little bit differently. But be careful, man. If you're going to sit here and say, wow, the SEC is doing it and we're not, do you want to be the SEC? Is that what you want? Because then go ahead. Then go live your life like that every day. But if you like being the Big Ten every other year of your fandom, this is like a part of that. So I just would caution against that. And in our survey with our readers, there are a lot of people, there's a lot of people, you know, just like anything, you guys know more than anybody. The madder you are, the more likely you are to call. But there are a lot of people, I said, would you rather leave the Big Ten or stay in the Big Ten as a result of this? And we got 75% stay in the Big Ten. I said, do you want to go be in the SEC? 10% said yes. So a lot of people realize maybe they don't agree with this, but they still like what Ohio State is.
Well, that's really – Doug, where'd you go to college?
I went to college in the Big Ten at Northwestern.
Oh, I thought that's where you went, but I was like, I kept thinking you went to Ohio State. See, because I look at Lima, and I give Lima a hard time here and there. Yeah, I didn't go to Ohio State, and so I'm not a big Ohio State fan. I don't hate Ohio State. As much as that's accused of me, I do not hate Ohio State. But I think that a lot of people, they didn't go to Ohio State, but they're just big college football fans. I don't think they care. I think they do want to be the SEC. I think they do. I think there's a lot of alums like Lima who do care about how Ohio State University is seen. Hopefully is seen as a good light, not in terms of athletic crooks or anything else. He wants it to be seen in a very good fashion, where I think a lot of people just don't care. I think that they want to say that they're big Ohio State fans and they kicked the bleep out of Michigan and Penn State and they competed for a national championship again.
Yes, some. I don't think the majority. I think at least more than half of the Ohio State fans, whether you're an alum or not, attach some value to that thing that they kind of like to throw in people's faces of – We do football at the highest level, but we don't only care about football. So I know what you're saying, and there's definitely people. I acknowledge that group is out there, and I'm not saying that's wrong. You know, I'm not saying football really matters. So if you're the people who are saying like this is stupid, just cancel. It's only football. There's no such thing as only football in Ohio or in the South. So it matters, but I don't want to ignore the people that I think actually are sad about this decision, but in the big picture, kind of understand it at least a little bit. Even if they disagree with it vehemently, they get it a little bit of where they're coming from.
How much could they lose? How much money could they lose? No season. How much?
Probably between 50 and 100 million. So you end up, you know, there's costs that go down because you're not traveling to play all these games and all these other sports. But, you know, just the ticket revenue, the concessions, and then the TV rights, I mean, it runs everything. So I think for the biggest schools, I think the smaller schools in the Big Ten are talking 50, 60 million, but I think you get upper end of the Big Ten, I think you're talking 80 to 100 million.
Could all this happening, Doug, could it expedite the departure of somebody like Ryan Day, who people thought was already going to be on that trajectory to end up in like the NFL?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he called this the 2020 team, a once-in-a-lifetime team, when we had a conference call with him yesterday. Like, he really thought they had a chance to do something. And he knows the deal. I mean, if you're in college, you know the deal. And he loves football. He loves X's and O's. But I think it's one of those he wants to – I think we'd want him to stick around for at least another couple of years to really take a shot, you know, because, like, to go undefeated and then you have your second year wiped out and then you go, and it's like, could I win a national championship at Ohio State? I mean, he's like 41. He's got plenty of time. His kids are young. I hope anybody in the world is not making life decisions based on the pandemic world. This is nuts, man. I mean, I hope this is a blip. I'm not changing my life based on the fact that there's a freaking virus that we can't see that's making people sick.
Well,
so,
Doug,
I think it would.
Man, I wish we had more time, because now I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, but who knows by the time college starts with the NFL, they're bound and determined to play basically no matter what. And he might just – but he looks exhausted in some of these videos I'm looking at him in, man. He looks like he has had it with some of these bureaucrats. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, buddy. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
I hope so. I hope you're right. He seems to be a pretty good college football coach. Doug, we thank you so much for the time. You know we love you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Good to be back.
Yes, sir. The great Doug LaMaurice. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, 216-578-0092. When we come back, I have a theory. I may very well be doing a champion's pose. It's I Have a Theory next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.